Our study this morning is out of 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 to 4, Shepherding God's Flock During Apostasy. Several believers in different states have reported on the increasing difficulty they face in living in accordance with Bible truth, since doing so conflicts with the godless world's deteriorating culture around them. 1 Peter was written to Christians who stand for Jesus Christ, made them aliens and strangers in the midst of a pagan society. So we study 1 Peter for our insight and our edification. 1 Peter 5, 1 to 4 teaches on shepherding God's flock in the midst of apostasy. So we view it for our insight and our edification. I'd like to look to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll get into His Word. Father, we're grateful for Your love and for the salvation that we enjoy in Christ as a result of Your loving us and sending Your Son to die as a propitiation for our sins. We thank You for the ministry of the Holy Spirit to have authored the Scriptures, and then He turns around and illuminates them to us so that we can understand them. Then He equips us by the power of God as we rely on Him to live it. So we ask for wisdom to utilize all of these ministrations of the Spirit this morning that we might understand. Use the text for the glory of Jesus Christ. In His name we pray. Amen. I'd like to read the passage, and then we'll look at it. 1 Peter chapter 5, 1 through 4. The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed or shepherd the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Okay, in writing to church elders, Peter claimed that he himself was an elder and a witness of Christ's exemplary sufferings and a partaker of the glory to be revealed when he would suffer crucifixion for Christ. Never get over the fact that the man that's writing 1 and 2 Peter knows from the words of Jesus Christ himself that his life is going to be ended in crucifixion. Christ has predicted that. This man knows that's ahead of him. So when he talks about suffering, he knows what he's talking about. And he feels it very deeply. He feels it very intimately. And that's what Peter is doing here. In John 21, 18 to 19, this is the first men's breakfast in church history where the Lord Jesus had the men breakfast there, and he had the fish on the hot coals, and he directed Peter. He renewed Peter's commitment to him in front of the other apostles, three times asking him, Peter, do you love me? That's to undo the threefold denial of Peter. Before, when he had denied Jesus during Jesus Christ's passion. Peter knows that he's going to suffer. So he understood what elders faced in apostasy, so his words are relevant to them. Now, accordingly, Peter explained what church elders were to do to succeed in the ministries of God's estimation. The type of ministry that we have here, I'm basically the only elder in the church because I'm a pastor, and the rest of our leaders are deacons. We've opened it up for men if they feel so called to the Lord. We do have in our bylaws the office of elder open, but so far our deacons have felt that they don't feel comfortable running as elders. Although in many ways the deacon board functions like an elder board. They make spiritual decisions as well as decisions related to the upkeep of the plant that we have here. But nevertheless, this primarily has a spiritual focus here. First, elders in apostate and an apostate era must shepherd. The Greek word is poimeno, God's flock. And the word flock, poimnion, is a derivative of poimeno, and that is among them. And we need to explain this. The verb poimeno implies all-encompassing oversight of a flock. Herding, tending, guiding, maturing. Poimeno is the big broad word for the whole thing. It's like the word farming. Farming includes a lot of other things. But it's very, very broad. So we need to shepherd the flock of God. Now, what I'd like to do here is demonstrate Christ's call to Peter in John chapter 21, 15 to 17, where Jesus used a threefold command that Peter, I'll put this up because people say they get better clarity here on the podium, where Jesus told Peter to feed his flock, and Jesus varied the nouns and varied the verbs there as he spoke. And Paul's command in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 15 to 42 on the commission to a pastor, Timothy, to teach. I'm combining those. First of all, Christ told Peter in the Greek, baska ta arniamu. Baska means to give food to feed an animal. It's not the word, broad word, shepherd poimeno. It's actually giving food to. Ta arnia. Arnia is a little lamb, little sheep. Feed my little lambs. And that means to expound Bible content with application to life for immature believers. One of the things that we have to be very careful to do from the pulpit, whether it's me as teaching or whether it's others who are here, make sure that we're not above the level of the people, but give information that applies to them. I've said before that the majority of people in churches today, unfortunately, are spiritual babes, but you have to feed babes, little babes in Christ. Some of these are believers who are new. Some of these are believers who've never grown for 20 or 30 years. They've just, you know, frozen in. They're locked in. But you have to give feed to these immature believers. And then Jesus told Peter, poimaina. Notice he changes the word from baska, which is feed, to poimaina, which, and that's, it's in the command form, an imperative form. That's the broad term of shepherd, pra ta probatamu. Probata would be the sheep. My sheep. Shepherd my sheep. And that means to herd, to tend, to guide, and to rule maturing believers by expounding Bible content with application to life. When new believers start to grow, when they start to get enough food, they get active. They want to witness. They want to get out. They want to teach. They want to do other things. And the road gets a little rocky at that point. It's kind of like a new calf when we were in farming. When you put a new calf out to pasture, the new calf has to butt heads with all the other cows in the pasture. And he gets put in his place in a hurry because he's the bottom end of the totem pole. But he gets knocked down after a while. Finally, he finds out where the pecking order is. Same with new believers. They get active. They want to serve the Lord. And boy, they start knocking elbows with others. So there's a lot of herding that has to occur. There's a lot of guiding. There's a lot of tending. There's a lot of application. And that happens with maturing believers. Poimaina ta probato mu. So you have to expound Bible content with application to life, with probably more of an emphasis on application. Finally, Christ told Peter, baska, he returns to the verb to feed, ta probatamu, not this time the little sheep, the arnia, but probata, my sheep, give feed to my sheep. And this means to dig deeply in Bible exposition to supply new insight with application to life for mature believers. To do this, a pastor, at least, if not other leaders in the church, constantly must study the Word of God, be in the Word of God. One of the goals that I've made in my own personal life is always to dig so that every time I give a lesson or a sermon, I'm sharing something that is new to me. Because if I know it's new to me, eventually it's going to be new to the people. And this is what is desperately needed. I heard of one time of a pastor who had prepared, when he was in seminary, 40 sermons. So he happened to be a Methodist, and he went into a church, and the church couldn't stand him for more than 2 years because he just cycled through the sermons, the same 40 sermons. And the people got tired of him, so the hierarchy had to keep moving him from church to church. And he ran into a pastor who was my pastor when I was in Dallas, one of my profs, Dr. Pentecost. Dr. Pentecost said, hey, you need to study Scripture. So he taught the man how to study Scripture so he could keep producing material from the Word of God. This is tragic, but it's true. A lot of times, you know, they have a giving sermon, they have a witnessing sermon, you know, they got the regular routine they run through, or Father's Day, Mother's Day, this happens to be Father's Day, Easter, Christmas, you know, they got the regular routine, they just cycle through the messages, and that gets old. People need the Word of God. They need to be fed constantly, and there's constantly information. I've been a pastor now for 45 years. I never cease to be amazed that if you look at the scriptures and if you dig deeply, you find information you've never seen before. And that's priceless. And that's what should be the regular norm. And gratefully, we're finding this happening at the Sunday school class level. We've got Sunday school teachers, a lot of them fairly young, who are used to Bible exposition. They're beginning to do their own work because they find that a lot of the lesson material is too shallow. And I've felt for a long time, Sunday school material can be a lot deeper. If you take a child who has the Holy Spirit within, that child understands Scripture, and you can give that child greater content. So this is a great need, and pastors need to do this. They need to dig deeply in the Bible exposition. And the people need to give them time. Thankfully, at Nepok Church, you've allowed that. You see how important it is for me to have the time to study, and I'm glad and I'm very grateful to the Lord that you allow that to occur. Not all pastors have that luxury. A lot of pastors, they've got to roll up their sleeves and get involved in program, and they're spending precious little time. Sometimes pastors start the Sunday morning sermon Saturday night. Or they go down to Dunkin' Donuts and they get a sermon together out of Reader's Digest or Newsweek, and away they go. That doesn't cut it. It has to be Bible exposition. So anyway, that's shepherding. The flock belongs to God. So church elders must realize that they do not possess the people to whom they minister, but that the elders are accountable to Christ for the ministry that they have with God's people. I realize that you belong to Jesus Christ. You belong to God. You do not belong to me. I don't own you. I don't possess you. I don't have any right to try to manipulate or control you. My job is to share the truth of God with you and let God and you hash that out as to how it's going to be applied in your life. I feel it very, very strongly. And that's what, it's interesting, shepherd the flock of God, not your flock, God's flock. Then, the flock God wants elders to oversee are the people among whom they already minister, as opposed to the elders seeking to move elsewhere to shepherd some other group for any number of reasons. Alumni secretaries at Dallas Seminary that I attended, Bob Sahlstrom, he told my father one time, he says, I have a stack of letters on my desk 18 inches high from graduates of Dallas Seminary who have written to say, please put me in any other church than the one that I'm in. They didn't like the situation. It wasn't perfect. Everybody's looking for this perfect church with this perfect congregation. That is something that is not right. I spent the first 4.5 years in my ministry in one church, and I moved on to there because I was, like a lot of grads, I was frustrated. I went into the next church. I was there 6 months, and I got slam dunked out of it, and there was a pastor emeritus who's hanging around and made life difficult. So when I came to Nepok Church, I thought, I'm going to have to get back to the book and find out what in the world my job is, because I'm not staying long enough. And I got into this passage and other passages, and the Lord indicated, Don, when I put you in a flock, that's a flock that I want you to handle and to deal with. Now, if you're finding difficulties there, you need to learn something. That's why you're there. You're the one that has to adjust. So we need to shepherd the flock that is amongst us. If God wants you to get into another flock situation, he will provide in such a way that he will close the door behind you and open the door in front of you. And there's nothing else you can do but do that. So we need to be content with the flock that God has put over us. And then, this is all under shepherding. Second, elders must oversee. Episcopal, we get the word Episcopalian from this. It means overseer. We must oversee the flock. And since the flock belongs to God, this oversight must be done righteously as follows. And this is verses 2 and 3. Church elders must not assume their oversight by compulsion, that is because they must, anagkastos, but rather, Allah is a very strong adversative, but rather instead do so willingly in accordance with God's will that they eagerly take the oversight of God's people. There should be a desire to shepherd the flock of God no matter what. If you're shepherding it because you have ulterior motives or you have some other thing in mind, no. You have to recognize one of the most important functions in the world today is that of being a shepherd of the people of God, because from God's perspective, the local church is the institution that's the most important. It's not some particular government. It's not some particular association out there. It's local churches that are giving the gospel, preaching the word. That's the focus of God's ministry. So you need to view how important it is and understand how important this is, so that instead of just saying, well, I guess God's called me, I guess I got to do it. That's the wrong attitude. God wants us to be eager to recognize this is an incredibly important ministry in view of eternity. Secondly, church elders must not lead as being fond of dishonest gain. Eis quoderes, as a lover of gold, that kind of thing, or money. But rather, Allah, again, you have a very strong adversative, but rather eagerly, prothumos, their desire being to shepherd God's people selflessly without financially abusing them. Too many times we've had pastors that will leave one church and go to another because it's a salary increase. I did that one time, and boy, the Lord chastised me big time on that. And I learned not to do that. And he allowed me to come to Nepog, and at one time here at Nepog, the church was over a month behind on our salary. It was getting close to the second month, and I shared with the board, okay, if it gets 2 months, then I'll put my house up for sale, but I'm not quitting. And we stayed at that, and we meant that. And the Lord, in his grace, has changed things around. I think the last record we have like $70,000 in the checking account, which is, I don't know where that's coming from. I mean, in some, it's never been like that in the summertime. But God has been very gracious to us. But we've got to look beyond the issue of money. You shouldn't be serving the Lord because of money. So there shouldn't be any type of pressure. We should never financially abuse God's people for money. I'm very glad that when we came to Nepal Church, they have the giving boxes at the back. And that's a lot like what we had at Grace Bible Church in Dallas. And people can go by anytime. We don't even pass the plate in the pew. Sometimes people feel pressured to put money in because the neighbors are watching, you know. Well, this way, you know, when you go back, you can deposit it. Nobody knows if you've been back there or not today or tomorrow. You can come here. If you've got a key to the church, you can come here at midnight if you don't want to see it and stick the money. We don't care. The boxes are locked. But the point is, it's a non-issue, and there shouldn't be any pressure in God's people to give to the Lord's work. Then church elders must not lead by lording over or subduing. Kata kuriuo. Kurios is the word to lord, or the word lord, the noun. Kata kuriuo. Lording over or subduing. The portion, the kleros, the portion of the flock that was assigned to them. In the earliest days of the church, they had portions of the flock. Each elder would have a portion. We used to do that years ago at Nepog. They would be responsible for looking out for this portion or that portion, so many households, whatnot. It's not really the word inheritance. It's the various portions over which God had given them. But nevertheless, they should not lord it over or subdue the portion of the flock that's assigned to them, but rather, notice the strong adversative again, but rather be becoming. You have the Greek verb ginomai, but it's in the present participle form, ginominoi. Be becoming examples. That means that there's a growth. The pastor himself or the church leader himself needs to be growing on a constant basis. And as he's growing, he's becoming a better and a better example. That's the whole idea that's behind this. So there needs to be something that is becoming. And incidentally, when people see that you're growing as a leader, they have a tendency to want to follow because they say, okay, the Lord has his hands on that person. I see improvement there, I see growth, I see a deepening in maturity, and then you become a tupos, or a type, or an example. So elders must thus lead by an increasingly, overwhelmingly good example produced by their own spiritual growth. I'll never forget the president of our Bible college at Multnomah School of the Bible, this Dr. Willard Aldrich. He was in his late 60s at the time. We had a work day in which we were supposed to be picking up candy wrappers and whatnot the students had often discarded. And Dr. Aldrich felt that it was, even though he was president of the school, he felt that he needed to be example. So here we were 18, 19, 20 years of age, and he was out there laboring in the heat, as he was, kind of a large man, a little overweight, but he was out there working up a hard sweat, picking up the stuff, because he felt that if I'm going to have my students do this, then I need to do this. And of course, he's not the type of person that would leave candy wrappers and soda cans around, but he was doing it. And I spoke to him near the end of the day. I said, Dr. Aldrich, I think you worked harder than the rest of us. And this dear man of God, he looked at me and with deep appreciation, he said, thank you. That means a lot to me. And I never forgot that. I was 18 years of age at the time. This man was an example. And I never forgot the tremendous example he was to us. Even though he was in his 60s, I was 18, 19. That's the type of leadership there God wants. And that made me really listen. Whenever he had a chapel period and he would give the message, I would listen up, as I knew this man did. He practiced what he preached in his life. Now, for heeding this instruction, church elders at Christ's coming will receive from the Lord, that's the chief shepherd of the church universal, the unfading hamartinos, victor's crown, stephanos. There are two types of crowns. One is the crown that a king has. This is a stephanos. This is what an athlete would win at the Olympic Games. And he wins because he overcomes. He defeats, as a victor, he defeats foes or people who are competing against him. This automatically implies that there is a spiritual conflict that goes on as being an elder, and you have to overcome. Have to overcome the evil one, have to overcome temptations of sin, have to overcome the world itself. Very, very important. You'll receive an unfading victor's crown, Stephanos, of glory. So church elders must shepherd God's flock by way of Bible exposition with application for immature, for maturing, and for mature believers. And they must oversee God's flock, not out of compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly, not by lording over God's flock, but leading by an increasingly overwhelmingly good example produced by their own spiritual growth. In doing so, elders will be greatly rewarded by the Lord. So two applications here. May we church elders, and I'm talking to myself as well as the other men who are leading in the church, may we church elders heed Scripture's directives for God's great reward. And this is directed to those in the pew. May we believers in the pew encourage our elders to heed God's admonitions to them for the benefit of the entire body of Christ. Church elders, church leaders, pastors are an important part of the church, because they're bringing the word. They're supposed to be exempting. And so the spiritual health of church leaders and elders is very important for the welfare of the body. So it's extremely important, and it's in the interest of the congregation that church elders be directed and encouraged in reference to the word of God and in reference to what their job is, so that they can succeed for the Lord. This format has been followed since I've been here at Nepaug Church. I came in 1982, before some of us were born, okay? I came here, and when I started to apply 1 Peter 5, 1-4, there were some reactions, some strong reactions. But we decided to stay the course because I didn't want to happen what had happened in the first two pastorates I was at. I wanted really to follow Scripture. And so I was just getting back to Scripture. I was parking all the books and everything else I had, just getting back to the pastoral epistles. And 1 Peter and John chapter 21, another good passage is Matthew 13, which deals with Bible exposition, but that's a whole different situation. And we stayed the course. And as a result, what you see going on today is the result of that. So I'm firmly a firm believer that this is the type of ministry that God wants us to have. I'm also a firm believer in a long pastorate. The longer a pastor can stay in an area, the more trust is produced towards his direction, the better he gets to know the people, and the greater stability occurs within a church. If your church churns over pastors every 2 or 3 years, the upheaval is too great. People don't mature, and there's a lot of instability and insecurity. I really feel that we need to get back to long-term ministries of really expounding the scriptures. Evangelism will take care of itself if people are fed, healthy sheep, lamb, you know. So if the people are being fed, they'll be witnessing automatically. It's just the result of ministry of the word. But this type of ministry is desperately needed in the church universal today. I'm convinced of this. And we are continuing to minister at NEPOG this way. Okay, we'll open it up for feedback, questions. Could be on the subject that we covered this morning. Doesn't have to be. If there's something else that has come up, feel free to...